Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. You are on the Healing Hour. I'm your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III, and I'm so glad to be with you this evening. I have a special guest, and before I bring up my special guest, as always, we open up with our scripture reading, and we just want to inspire you with the Word of God, because right now, the people of God, just people in general, we need inspiration. The scripture that I want to bring to you is Ephesians 4:32. That's Ephesians 4:32. And it says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Right now, we are facing one of the biggest epidemics of our lifetime. And we need medical supplies, we need food, we need all types of resources. But the one thing we really need is kindness. We need to be a community again. We need to love each other again. And we need to think about each other again. And it starts with the key word, kindness. And if we're able just to be kind to your brother and sister, same way that God, Christ, was kind to him, to us, in the same way God treats us, let's be kind to somebody. If there's a need that we can meet, let us learn how to meet that need. Let us be influential. Let us be contagious so that people can see good works and mimic good works. Also, our evangelism tip of the month. I'm going to switch it up because last time I stuck with the theme, but this time it's a little different. Times are changing. We are in a situation where we can't really get out the way we want to, but it's very easy to just make a flyer and send it out or send an email blast out and let people know that your services, your church services, your Bible studies, your regular service will be held online via any type of social media or any type of streaming services. So please get the word out that you're still having church service in some capacity, whether it be a Facebook blast, an email blast, whether it be a chat group, a text group, whatever it takes. Make sure you're getting the word out that you're doing your services in some way. And also, one of the biggest things that we can never forget about the churches is that we have to check on our elderly and our sick and shut-in. Make your elderly in your church a priority, all right? It is nothing more sacred than taking care of your elders. The Bible lets us know constantly that we should take heed to our elders. So those who are elderly, sick and shut in, check on them, call, see how they're doing, hold that conversation, you know, get to know them. You know, you'll learn something, you'll get something, you'll leave out stronger, you'll leave out wiser if you begin to check on those senior saints at your church. All right. God bless you. Now, I have a special guest, and when I say special, I really mean special. She goes by the name of Summer Joy, and she has a special ministry, and she's going to introduce her ministry. But I bring before Summer. Summer, how are you there?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show and inviting me out. You know, I really appreciate it. So I'm doing good.
All right. So, Summer and I, we met because I did an IG live, and my friend Jeremiah, who's also been a guest on the show, and he has a ministry called Sex Can Wait a While. It's about you know, keeping your virginity. It's about abstinence and celibacy. Really check out his ministry. He's a really powerful ministry. And he's been really doing a lot of different, chats and lives, especially right now when temptation seems at its highest. So if you get a chance, check out Sex Can Wait a While, Jeremiah Chase. But Summer was on the IG live that I did with Jeremiah, and she was posting, and it was like hilarious. She was all in 100%. And I said, I gotta meet this girl. So Jeremiah was like, bro, like, you don't understand, like, I can make that happen. I said, oh, give her my number. And she called me, and we talked for about 2 hours, and I think I said like 5 words. But I was enjoying the conversation so much. But Summer, every time I have a guest, every time I ask a guest, the first question I always ask is, what is your testimony? What has God brought you through? So Summer, can you answer that for me, please?
Yes, absolutely. So God is just so awesome, and he just blows my mind all the time. And honestly, like, what he's done in my life, I would have never in a million years thought that he would do this. And so my testimony is so I'm 29 years old. I'll be 30 in June, the first day of summer, hence the name Summer. So I'm 29 years old, and for 10 years I lived a lesbian lifestyle. So I came out at the age of 15, and I mean, it was one of the scariest moments of my life, because I grew up in church. You know, I grew up in church my whole life, and I was one of those kids that was in church every single day of the week, literally. And so, Monday through Friday, we had after-school program at the church. So, I mean, we did our homework, we ate, we got the word and went to the game room and got the word. So that's Monday through Friday. And then Saturday, you know, we had youth enrichment from 12 to 3. So I got the word and played games and got the word again. And then Sunday, I'm in church all day. Like, you could just forget it. Like, it was church. And so I'm 15, and, you know, I'm having these same-sex attraction. Now, mind you, it didn't start at 15. I remember being 5 years old, around the age 5 years old, like in kindergarten, and kissing girls. Like, I remember, you know, being in the little cubby closet in school kissing girls. And I remember, like, knowing it was wrong. Yeah, I remember, like, knowing it was wrong, but didn't care. You know, at that age, you're kind of, like, just curious and you're just doing things. But I always knew, like, I felt different, and I knew that I had this attraction to girls. But, you know, growing up, you know, as time went on, I never really paid it any attention. Like, yeah, I knew it was wrong, and I think that fear was kind of what made me, like, not act on it. And plus, I was young, so I wasn't really trying to do anything anyway. But once I got to high school, you know, things changed. And so I was always an athletic person, always what people call, you know, a tomboy or whatever. But I was always, tomboy, okay. And so I'm in high school now, and I'm, you know, playing basketball, and, you know, I'm surrounded by other teenagers who, you know, was on my basketball team who is gay, who have girlfriends. And, you know, I'm in this environment where it's like all my friends were gay. And So now I'm like, all right, I've been had these feelings before. And so now this was just like the perfect, it was just the perfect time to just be like, you know what, I'm going to just accept this. Like, all right, God, I'm about to act on these feelings. Like, I felt like I suppressed them for so long. And so I got to the point where I just was like, God, I'm not fighting this feeling no more. Like, this is what it is. I'm going to do this. And because, and also too, like, I was feeling like I was starting to get, like, depressed. Like, the more I felt, like, closeted, they say, you know, you're in the closet, I was feeling like I wasn't myself. And so the scariest thing ever was coming out to was coming out to my mom. And, I mean, oh, man, it was like a miniature heart attack every time I thought about it. It was like I felt lightheaded just the thought of saying those words to my mom, like, Mom, I'm gay. Like, it was like, oh, I could just pass out and faint. And so I finally got the courage to do it. Yeah, I finally got the courage to do it. And so, you know, I came out and, you know, at first she took it hard, but first she took it really hard. I'm not going to, like make it seem like that was, like, something breezy. Like, so I feel like for, like, 2 months she gave me the silent treatment. And, like, it got to a point where, like, I had to have a conversation with her. Like, look, Mom, we got to talk. And I remember it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Don't ask me why we were up. I really don't even remember, but I know it was really, I know it was early in the morning. It had to have been, like, the weekend or something. It was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Like, around that time. And I had to have a talk with her because I knew she was ignoring me. She was giving me the silent treatment. I said, look, Mom. We had to talk, and all I remember saying to her, I can't remember everything about the conversation, but all I remember saying to her was, Mom, remember how when I was growing up, and when I was a kid growing up, you always said, Summer, I love you no matter what. There's nothing you could do that could stop me from loving you, right? You're my daughter, and I love you. And I was like, what happened to that? Like, do you still love me, or did that change? Did you really mean that? And I guess that hit a nerve because the next day she was back to normal. The next day she was like, daughter, what we doing? What we eating? What's for breakfast?
Right.
You know? And I was just like, all right, cool. So then, you know, once my mom knew, it wasn't nothing nobody could say about me that was going to do anything because I'm like, look, the hard part is over. My mom know I'm good. And so 10 years, my whole adolescence, you know, I go to college, everything, like, my whole, you know, that was all I knew was women. And so at the age of 24, though, I had this is my ex-girlfriend, and I remember, you know, it was weird because in this relationship, I kind of felt God tugging on my heart with my lifestyle, but I wasn't paying it no mind. But I'm like, nah, I got a whole girlfriend. Like, come on, like, God, what you doing? Like, you can't be, whoa, hold on, what you doing? And so, and so I was just kind of like brushing it off until the craziest things started happening. So, like, my girlfriend at the time got real different out of nowhere. Like, out of nowhere, she just changed. And like, and when I say changed, like, she started getting real disrespectful towards my mom. And so I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going about to be with nobody that's going to be disrespectful. And it came out of nowhere because she was the, you know, she introduced me to her church and like she was church going. Like, this was a church going lady. And she was also, what, 9 years older than me, too. And so I'm like, yeah, so I'm 24. She was about, 35 years old. And so I'm like, she started acting weird. And so we broke up. We ended up breaking up. And another thing God did, so I remember the day that we broke up, literally the next day, it wasn't even 24 hours, the next day, In the state of Pennsylvania, same-sex marriage became legal the next day.
Wow.
And I'm like, whoa, God, hold on. Because, look, that was something we was talking about doing. Like we was talking about marriage and buying a home. Like, I was actually, look, her credit was all jacked up, so we were going to do everything. And now we was looking at, rent-to-own programs and stuff, and like everything was gonna be in my name. Like, everything was gonna be in my name, and like, you know, I was really serious. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm settling down. But it's crazy, and I say that because I remember going against my own feelings, because I remember feeling like before I remember saying to myself, like, you know, I don't think I could ever settle down. I don't think I could ever settle down with a woman and have kids with a woman and be married to a woman. But here I am. Here I am, like, in this relationship about to do those things. But then, like, she, like I said, she switched up. She switched up real quick out of nowhere. And then the next day, same-sex marriage became legal in Pennsylvania. And I said, oh, God. Oh, look at you. And so, but still though, I'm like still fighting this thing because I'm like, all right, just because me and her broke up, like, God, that don't mean like I'm about to be straight now. Like, nah. And so right. I still was having, yeah, like, so I'm still was like battling it. And so it's crazy because I was going to the same church my whole life. Right? I was going to the same church my whole life, and that was my church home. Like, that was where all my family and friends was going. It wasn't until I met her that I started going to the new church,
Right.
And she introduced me to this church. Now, mind you, whenever I go to a new church for the first time, I'm already bracing myself mentally for the judgmental looks, the sneers, the roll out in the, oh, what is this? Who is this walking in the door? You know, this girl dressed like a guy. You know, I mean, I was fly, though. I had the bow ties, the vest. I was suited and booted. Sunday's vest, right? And so I was already, had this guard up. Like, all right, Summer, be prepared to go into this new church with these new people that you don't know. And just, like, I'm just used to the discrimination and the judgment. Like, I was used to that already. So when she introduced me to this church, you know, I go in, and the pastor and everybody, like, oh, hey, who is this? Come here, give me a hug, girl, what's your name? And everybody just, you know, embracing me and giving me hugs and love. And I'm like, ooh, what is this? I've never been to a church like this where people just ready to hug on me and love on me. And I just was like, ooh, I like this. And so the next week, I'm back at that church. And then back at that church the next week, next Sunday. And then eventually I joined the church. Now, mind you, this church is a small storefront church, family church, intimate. I mean, intimate, small church. And I'm used to, like, the church I came from, it wasn't like a mega, mega church, but it was a big church, you know, like, so I wasn't used to that environment, you know, a small church. Like, I'm used to a bigger church, but it was that small, intimate church. You know, I sat in the front row of that church, and, I mean, when the pastor is preaching, I could reach out and touch. Like, that's how close I was, you know, sitting in the front row. But, you know, as I'm sitting in there in the front row in this new church with this loving pastor and these loving members, you know, my relationship with God started to change, right? And so my relationship became intimate with God because I'm front row. I'm taking notes now. You know, I'm jotting down, you know, the major points. Like, I'm in it. And I'm like, and, you know, my prayer life changed. You know, like, so much was changing in my spiritual life at this church. And so then it started getting, you know, like I said, so I'm in this relationship. You know, with the lady that introduced them, my ex-girlfriend introduced me to this church, and we front row with it. It got to a point where I was starting to feel uncomfortable sitting in church next to my girlfriend with her two kids.
Wow.
Oh, I left that out. She had two. Yeah, so look. And so it was starting to be uncomfortable. I'm like, hold on. Like, me and God, like, this is my boo thing. Like, what you doing? And so now, you know, like I said, my faith was growing, my spiritual, my prayer life was different. You know, I'm building this relationship with God now. Like, this church was, you know, the pastor and the love, and I'm just like, I was like, yo, like, this is what I was missing. You know, this was what I was missing. And so, which, like, the thing that changed, so, all right, I'm still kicking and screaming. I know God tugging on my heart, but I'm still like, So at this point now, you know, all right, so I'm not with my ex anymore. We had broken up. But I'm still going to the, here's the thing, I'm still going to the church she invited me to, but she stopped going. She stopped going.
She stopped coming. And you still there.
Her church home. I'm still there. I was like, man, listen, I ain't going nowhere. I don't care. Well, she left. I mean, she going to do with that with God. I don't know, like, because I ain't going nowhere. And so every year, my church have a women's conference, right? It's five churches combined, and we go.
Right.
At this point, we was going to the Desmond Hotel. Now we go to the Black Rock Retreat, but at this time, we was at the Desmond Hotel. And this was 2015. This was October 2015. And I remember this was the Saturday night worship, and I had an experience happen to me that I never experienced something like this in my life. It was so intense. So it was Mother Brown. Come on, somebody. So,
always a Mother Brown.
So, is it okay? Come on, Mother Brown. Ooh, shout out to the Mother Browns of the world. So Mother Brown had asked us to stand up. Everybody stood up, and she said, I need everybody to stand up and pray. And so, you know, I'm standing up, I'm praying, bow my head, I'm praying. And as I'm praying, I start to hear, like, people whispering. So I'm like, people, when I open, I'm like, just see what's going on. And everybody's sitting down as if and looking at me like they waiting for me to finish up praying. And I'm like, well, dang, how long was that? I'm like, it only seemed like 60 seconds went by. I know they ain't rushing me for 60 seconds, but apparently I zoned. I was praying and I was zoned. And so I heard Mother Brown say, no, leave her alone. She praying. And so I was just like, all right, I'm gonna close my eyes and wrap this prayer up because they waiting for me. And so when I got done, Mother Brown called me up to the front. And I'm like, that walk, y'all, that walk felt like, that walk down the it felt, ooh, and I was like, what is she about to do? I'm like nervous, my hands sweating. I'm like, what is she about to do? Oh, man. So mind you, I'm suited and booted, bow tie, you know, vest, I'm fly, I'm walking to the front. And she hugged me, and as she hugged me, she's whispering in my ear, okay, so let me pause real quick right there.
All right.
About a month before this, I remember praying to God, because like I said, he was tugging on my heart, but I was fighting and kicking and screaming. And so about a month before this moment, I'm praying to God, and I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, if you want me to stop being gay, then you're going to have to show me the way. You going to have to do this. Like, what about, I'm questioning, like, what about all the clothes I got? I don't have female clothes. Like, what man is going to want to marry me? Like, because of my life and my past, like, I mean, I'm going in with God. Like, this prayer, I'm like, right at him. I'm like, God, you're going to have to show up. Because I ain't going to be able to do this, right? And so I'm asking him all these questions. I mean, I'm firing them at him. I'm not even waiting to listen. I'm just firing these questions at God. And so now I'm at this point in front of Mother Brown, right? I'm at this point in front of Mother Brown. She hugged me, and then she's whispering in my ear. She's giving the answers to everything I was questioning God. So it was as if she was in the room as I'm questioning God. She was, like, answering them in that order. Like, don't worry about the clothes. God is going to provide the clothes. You think God don't have a husband for you? It was as if she was, it was verbatim. It was verbatim. Like, it was like, hold on, how do, because I remember thinking, wait, how does she know this? Wait a minute. And I remember it was like the craziest thing. I mean, she's firing. It was like every question that I had that night in that prayer, she was just delivering the answers to me right there. And she's holding, she's squeezing me tighter and tighter. And she's saying, and she's whispering, and she's holding me. And I'm just like, I'm listening, and I'm freaking out because I'm like, God, she was not there. I'm like, God, if this is you, in this moment right now, I give it all to you. I, you know what? I'm done. I don't need no more signs, God. You don't even gotta listen. You won. Because I'm like, listen, that I surrender this all to you right now. And I remember in that moment just crying because.
Come on, baby, you can do it. Come on.
I remember just crying because I knew the life that I lived was over. And I knew it was no going back. I knew it was no going back. And I knew that moving forward, that the only person that I can lean on right now is God, because I don't know what's about to happen in this new life. I don't know where to start. God, like, all right, so show up. Show me something. And I remember on the ride home, I'm crying. People are like, Summer, why are you still crying? You crying from last night? Like, what is going on with you? And I couldn't even talk. I mean, it was just a cleansing. I was just crying. I'm just crying the whole way back in the ride home, in church, the whole service, that whole Sunday, I was just crying. And I remember saying, like, God, like, you have to really, like, I'm, like, you got to show up. And I remember thinking to myself, what is my friends going to think? Like, I got all these gay friends and people and just not even gay friends, just people that just know me, that knew the life that I lived. And I'm just like, what are they going to think about me now? Like, what are they going to say about me now? You know, like, because, listen, I remember when I was, you know, in the life, and someone said they wasn't gay no more. I'm like, yeah, right. Okay, you're not gay. Like, okay, so you think you could just stop? Like, yeah, right. And so I'm thinking, like, right. I became one of them people. I'm thinking, like, how the heck I become one of them people now? And so I'm like, God. Oh man, like, I'm gonna be talked about. I'm gonna get ran down in the mud, like, because I'm like, they gonna be questioning me now, and it's crazy because okay, so that was in October. That was October 2015, and I said, all right, God, I said, all right, this is what I'm gonna do. I said, in the new year, in January, you know, all right, that's when I, like, even though I was already changed internally. I still had all my clothes. I still had the same clothes. You know, it just happened. You know, I ain't go shopping or nothing. So I said, all right, come January 1st, I'm going to, you know, introduce to the world, God, now this new person. Because, you know, I was a new person. And so I remember going to work. I remember going to work. This is the new year now. I'm dressed as a girl now. And wow. I remember freaking out that morning going to work because I'm like, all right, they used to me looking one way. And I'm bracing myself for just the interrogation. I'm bracing myself for the, girl, what you got going on? What the heck? What happened to you? What the, girl?
Yeah.
Girl, I'm just. And let me tell you, I got the work. And everyone was like, wow, Summer, look at you. You're so pretty, girl. Come here. I all this in love and embrace. So everything that I thought, all the negative thoughts that I had, all the God, but what the people going to say about me? God, but huh? Everything that I was thinking, all those negative thoughts, the complete opposite had. I mean, everybody was embracing me and I just, you know, like just sharing, like, how proud, as if it was weird. It was as if I had already told them the experience, like, what happened. It was just like, they was just like, girl, I don't know what's going on, but I love it. Whatever God, because they knew, here's the thing, though, they knew I was Christian at work. They knew, because right. I didn't, you know, they knew I was Christian at work. And they just was like, listen, whatever God is doing, I like it, keep doing it, and I'm proud of you. So I'm like, whoa, God, okay, that was easy. Woo, thank you. You must have knew. Like, all right, I'm like, all right, I could do this. I'm like, all right, so I'm gaining this strength, and I'm gaining this confidence. And I'm like, And I'm like, all right, you know, God, you showing me, you already proving me wrong, because I'm thinking all these negative things. And I'm like, all this positive stuff is happening. And I mean, like, everybody was embracing me. And, like, granted, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. It was people that was hopping in my DMs or in my comments or whatever on social media, you know, with the negative love stuff, like, oh, well, girl, maybe you was just bisexual the whole time. Like, as if they,
right.
And imagine, these people who knew me in the life, like, so, girl, come right. on, you know I was not no bisexual. Like, don't even try that. Like,
right.
Like, don't even try it. Like, because what it is, though, they can't even wrap their mind around what God can do. And so, and I get it because, you know, I was there. I mean, I get it. But, like, don't sit here and try to play me and say, oh, girl, you was just bisexual, or, oh, girl, you still, or, you know, people was, oh, girl, you still gay. Deep down, you still gay, girl. Who you fooling? Like, so I was getting that, but that wasn't nothing compared to those little negative stuff. Wasn't nothing compared to all the good that was happening in my life. So, like, you know, shout out to my pastor because she gave me, I don't even know, like, she probably gave me so many Macy's gift cards, and, like, I was getting gift cards and clothes from everywhere. I mean, like, people made sure
wow.
some of them. I'm going to bless you because this is, you know, and so before I knew it, it was funny. My little sister was like, dang, you got more pretty clothes than me now. How you know? And I'm like, okay, you know, but I'm saying all this because it's like, all right, I remember being that person, though, that couldn't believe that it was, I didn't believe that it was possible, you know, and it wasn't until I experienced it for myself. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, being Christian, being a gay, being an openly gay Christian, right? I thought I heard someone asking a question.
No, keep going.
Okay, so being an openly gay Christian, you know, it was hard because, you know, when we go to church, you know, like, at the end of the day, we know it's sin, right? So I remember being in the life, asking other believers who was gay as well, like, I'll ask them, like, all right, sis, I know you gay. Like, we both gay. We both Christian. And I'll be asking other believers, like, do you believe our lifestyle is a sin? And every gay Christian that I asked all said, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, it's a sin. So it's like, we knew we was dead wrong. Like, we knew we was sin. We knew our lifestyle was a sin. And what I've learned and what I've noticed is, like, when the people of the church, you know, talk down on us or judge us or be throwing the Bible at us or, you know, like, I remember someone in church told me I was going to hell. She flat out was just like, you know, you're going to hell, right? And I'm just like, all right. Like, well, that, well, I'm just like, all right, yeah, I mean, yeah. And so that was what a lot of, like, my friends would say, like, yeah, that's why I don't go to church. Like, that's why the looks, the judgment, the preaching down on us, the, you know, like or not.
Let me
being
grab
welcome.
This real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Let me grab this real quick. Because you hit on a lot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to let you know, for somebody who is nervous, you've been talking for 25 minutes.
Right. Oh, whoa.
Now you got
me going. All
right. Now here's, I did not tell you. I said I'm gonna let you loose, and I'm gonna set back, and everything's gonna happen. Now here's what I want to say. I want to say thank. I want to praise God for your deliverance, and the reason, and I want to thank God for not just for your deliverance, but mm-hmm. for the boldness it takes to speak your deliverance.
Amen,
and
yes.
You know, the Bible tells us we overcome by the power of our testimony, meaning every time you tell your story, you get a little stronger in overcoming.
Yes,
and I also want to point out is that you pointed out how the church handled you. And I love the fact that you had separate experiences. You found the church that embraced you, that allowed you to come in and allow God to do the work. They prayed with you, they worked on you, they loved you through it. And then the process began to take place. But you also felt what it's like to be told, you know, you're going to hell, you're living the wrong way. And I want to give, you know, those who are listening, I want to just share a quick story. I'm only going to few minutes. There was a man in the Bible. There was a man in the Bible who had legions demons. I mean, the Bible says that there were many demons in him, and it also says that he was locked in a graveyard and he was cutting himself. And I don't know if anybody has ever dealt with mental depression, has dealt with anxiety. Cutting is a result of depression, is an exalt of anxiety over anxiety. He was tormenting himself, talking to himself. This man was hurting. And immediately when he saw Jesus, he ran to him. He called him the Son of God, and he began to worship God. Now, I know I sent you like a small snippet of the story that I'm working on, but when he saw Christ, he began to worship in his presence. Now, I've been working on this for the last couple of weeks. My brother, Minister Jay Hall, was here last week, and then I have you, Summer, with me this week. What I want the church to understand is that God did not turn this person away because he was different. He allowed him to come into his presence. He allowed him to worship. And after he got into the presence of God, and after he experienced a relationship with God, then Jesus began to work on what was wrong. Now, the next step was he began to further create a relationship with him because he said, "What is your name?" And then it said, "We are many. We are legions. We are many." And then he dealt with the issue again. Do you notice the pattern? God allows us to come into his presence. He allows us to worship. We get to know him. And then there's a change made. Then he gets to know us some more. We build a closer relationship. And then the next step is made. We have to understand as a church, as a body, that dealing with, working with people with alternative lifestyles, because I'd like to just use gay because there's so many different terms, but working with people with alternative lifestyles, the first thing we had to do was introduce them to Christ. And if we attack their lifestyle, if we go just, "Oh, you're gay, you're going to hell," or, you know, we miss the opportunity to show them Jesus because we already showed them hell first. And we have to develop a pattern like Jesus did and show people that you can come out of this lifestyle. You don't have to stay where you are. And another thing is, too, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not into the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners." If you see somebody, if there's somebody who decides that this is who they are, they're not changing, get out their way. Like, we don't have to stand in their way. But there is a bunch of people, there's a lot of people who are struggling, who are trying to figure out what they're doing, where they are. And you said something that was so powerful. You felt accustomed to this lifestyle, But you said you were looking for love.
Yeah.
And when you got the love, what happened? Everything started going away. But you had to get the love first.
Because what I noticed was I was going to church my whole life, but didn't really know God. Didn't really showing up every Sunday, clapping, shouting, praising, woo, but there was an empty praise, empty. Didn't know God, like really.
Wow.
And it wasn't until that intimate relationship with God started to happen was when the heart transplant started to happen, and I was feeling myself being made new. And it was at that point where I got to a point where my desire to please God was much greater than the lifestyle that I was living. I had this burning desire to just serve God and to live for God and to just let God use me. And as that was happening, everything else kind of just fell into place. It just naturally happened. And what happens is a lot of times the church, the members of the church, the leaders of the church, sometimes the pastors of the church, think that they can change someone. They think, oh, I'm a preach this thing out of this person. I'm a minister. I'm a preach, and I'm a talk to them, and I'm a be there for them, and I'm a pray for them all the time. And then the person may get on the right path, but as soon as that person backslide and go back into that life, now they all disappointed. Oh, I can't believe they went back to that. I didn't minister to them and prayed with them and da da da. That's because they thought that it was them that changed them. They giving themselves too much credit and really taking the place of God, because only God can really do the work within the person. Because listen, when I was 16, 14, 18 years old, you could preach and talk to me till you blew in the face, but I knew I was still going to be the same. I knew there wasn't nothing about to change, you know? So I'm just like, okay. But like too much, they put in too much power within them. Like, granted, great. You're a leader of the church, you're a pastor, you know, you have much respect for the church has much respect for you, and that's awesome, you know, but, you know, don't stop thinking that it's you that's going to change someone, because they could easily go back into what they was doing before, whatever it was, you know, and so they have to understand that God has to do the work. Like, you could help, you know, the prayers help, you know, the talk and the counseling, it helps. But you got to allow God to come into them and to, you know, take over, you know. And I feel like that's where a lot of the I don't want to say hate, that's a strong word, but when the members of their church backslide, they feel like it's on them. For when you're putting too much pressure on yourself,
you
don't got
God, guys.
Yeah, right. because it's not because of you that your church member is now back doing whatever they was doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You gotta free yourself from that. Mm-hmm.
So, real quick, because we're about to do the call of salvation.
Okay.
I really want to know. Matter of fact, how about this? Right now. I know that there are people listening. I know that there are people who are hearing everything you are saying. And matter of fact, I'm getting the text messages like, yo, she's going in. Like, yo, she's really, you know. So right now, there's somebody who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be dealing with whether it be an alternative lifestyle, or they may be dealing with something just pulling on their heart, whatever that thing is. The one thing you and I both know is that God can change any circumstance.
Yes.
And right now we're about to do the call of salvation, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray that someone's hearts get changed. And I know for a fact that by hearing your testimony, that someone already just got encouraged, because they know that if God did it for you, he can do it for them.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
So what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and we're going to invite someone to receive the salvation of Jesus Christ, because it's very simple. All we have to do is we have to just talk to God and acknowledge and let him know that we are sinners, that we've fallen, and that we ask for his forgiveness and we repent. And then after we ask for forgiveness and repent, we ask him to come into our hearts and clean us and change us. And the next step is very simple. All we have to do is say, you know, be the Lord of my life, come into my heart. And then we say, I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. And recognize that he died for our sins and rose again. Now, it seems like that's a lot going on, but it's a confession. It's a simple confession, and this confession will allow you to see a change in your life that you've never seen before. And a lot of people think that once they give their heart to Christ, you know, these big sparks fly, you know, this overwhelming experience may happen. But sometimes it doesn't happen like that. Sometimes, you know, it's just a moment. And it's okay. Your confession is more powerful than the moment.
Absolutely.
And the Bible also says that when you confess Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, heaven throws a party. Like, heaven parties once you get saved. That's the craziest part about this. They said the angels rejoice. Heaven throws a party when you have Christ as your personal Savior. So right now we're going to pray. I'm going to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we know that someone has looked and heard this service and said, you know, I want to be changed too. God, someone heard the testimony of Summer. They heard her story and they said, God, I want to experience what she's experienced. So, God, I ask that you come into that person's life, that you begin to work on them and dwell in them and begin to, you know, ease those insecurities and work on those faults and calm that anxiety, God, and you begin to develop in them a new creature. And, God, for that lost soul who wants you, who doesn't know you but wants to get to know you, God, you reveal yourself. And you pour your spirit out to them and allow them to see who you are. God, open up the doors. God, begin to touch people's hearts, even right now, in the midst of chaos and in the midst of so much trauma. God, you are still a healer. You are still a provider. You are still God. So God, show up. And begin to touch and move. And God, like you've always been doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Summer, we're about to jump into our announcements. After the announcements are over, we're going to get right back into this thing, because I want you to tell people about your ministry and let them know how to get in contact with you. Brother Rob, are you there for the announcements?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And real quickly, I'll just go into the announcements. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's program, whether you're calling us via phone or you're listening to us online. We greatly appreciate your listenership. If you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network via email, contact us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply let us know that you've converted your life over to Christ. We greatly appreciate hearing from you, the listener. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We invite you to like us on our Facebook page at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And you can also follow the link for our morning word of inspiration, which is on anchor.com or Anchor FM. You can go to anchor.com or Anchor FM and go under Purpose Kingdom, or like I said, you can follow our links, and you get a morning word of inspiration. And, you know, don't forget to share with your friends and family, especially at this time where we all are in need of a prayer. With that being said, we hope with God's will and God's blessing that you'll be able to join us tomorrow evening, p.m. hour, for Building the Foundation. And that show is going to be hosted by Evangelist Shekinah Bird, Lady Bird. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us at the 8 p.m. hour for Building the Foundation. And that's hosted by Evangelist Shekinah Bird, Lady Bird, at the 8 p.m. hour. And don't forget, tell friends and family that we're going to be on tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour. And with that being said, we like to thank each and every one of you for just listening in. Don't forget, if you want to hear any of our past and previous shows, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, where you can simply type in the host name and the show name, and you can hear that name, that show, at your convenience and at any time you'd like to listen to it. We thank you so much. And with that being said, we're going to just hand the programming back over to you, Reverend Burgess.
All right. Thank you, Brother Rod. Don't nobody do the announcements like you, sir. All right. Mm-hmm. So, in summary, you have a ministry. And I'm just going to let you know right now, I got texts, I got phone calls, like, what's going on? What ministry are you presenting? And everybody that called me and texted me, I was like, so what? Y'all going to listen to it anyway? I don't care what it sound like. We going to do it. Please. You got a couple minutes now. Tell people what this ministry, LGBT, is about.
Right. So the ministry is LGBT, and it's an acronym for Love, God, Boldly Together. And it's honestly a ministry that God placed in my heart about 4 years ago, but I was afraid to start it because of the sensitive, you know, it's sensitive. Talking about sexuality in church and, you know, talking about singleness and, you know, masturbation and pornography and all the things that came with, you know, with my testimony and the things that's hard to talk about in church. So Love, God, Boldly Together is really for everybody. Like, it's not a targeted ministry for the LGBT community. It's for everybody. Like, I don't care if you're gay, straight, you know, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. It's whoever you are, come. And it's really to just share and to talk about, have those hard conversations, really to, you know, talk about the things that we're dealing with. Because during my journey, I felt like I was the only one going through what I was going through. Like, I felt like it was no one I can talk to about my issues. And once I started being transparent, you know, on social media and with my church and really being open about my journey, I was getting so many DMs from the saints now. Come on. Saying, sis, I've been going through the same thing. I've been struggling with my sexuality. Like, I had these same sex attractions come out of nowhere. Or sis, you know, I've been in this relationship with my girlfriend for 7 years, but I know God is calling me out of this lifestyle, but because we've been together for so long, I'm afraid to leave her, but I know God is calling me out. And so it's the saints that is struggling with their sexuality too, but feel as though they can't talk to anybody about it. They don't know who to go to. They're afraid to go to the pastor. They're afraid to go to the minister, the leaders of the church. And so really Love, God, Boldly Together is really a platform for people of all walks of life to really talk and share and to know that you are not alone if you're dealing with this. And if you really, you know, seek God for yourself, like really seek God and build that relationship with God, because he will do the work in you. You can't do it on your own. Like, I couldn't have did this on my own. Like, it was no way that this was going to happen on my own strength. It was nothing but God and only God alone. Okay, so this ministry, you could follow it. I mean, like I said, I just started this quarantine. God said, you don't have time to do it. You don't have time. Oh, you running. You don't have time. Quarantine. You ain't going nowhere. And so all week, God been just get me together. I haven't had a bored moment yet. My mind is going. I'm praying. I'm fellowshipping. And God is just set me right on down. And so this, like I said, this ministry been something I've been running from because I'm like, God, you can't be calling me to do this now. Like, no, come on. And so that's really what it's about. You could follow it on Instagram at Love God Boldly Together. My personal Instagram is underscore Summer Joy, and that's Joy with two Y's, Joyy. And yeah, so you could follow. I can't wait to really start engaging on the Instagram page. Like I said, I just started, you know, being in quarantine and, you know, God getting me together. So I'm excited. It's new. It's fresh. And so definitely follow it. And I really just can't wait to just talk with everyone, have these conversations and open it up to the people that, you know, who wanna talk, really. Have these hard conversations, you know, respectfully, of course. You know, I know sometimes these conversations can get heated. This is not, you know, that's not the place to have disrespectful
debates. You want to create a safe place.
A safe place. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
A safe place.
Real quick, mm-hmm. because we have 4 minutes left. And I want to make sure everybody gets to know your ministry. And on top of that, I really want to say this very fast. I expressed to you when we first talked, I said, I have a sister who's 21, and I have a sister who's a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And I told you the experience of, you know, raising her after my father passed, and, you know, I have a gay sister. And talking to you, it lets me know that that she can turn her life around and that God is never going to be finished with her. And that I know if I keep praying for her and keep instilling in her, that change is going to happen. So let me tell you right now, I said, even though you always say I'm encouraging you, I'm pushing you, you are encouraging me. Because when I see you, I know that God can make a change in my sister. So I just thank God for you. I'm praying for you. And I know that, you know, this thing's about to be outrageous. Once again, give your social media real quick. I'm going to ask Pastor Toy if she has any comments or any remarks. And then, unfortunately, it's time to go. We got to close this thing out.
Okay. Yep.
It was only an hour. We need more time. So we're going to do this again.
I know, right? Yeah, right?
We're going to do this again. Real quick, drop your social media.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Once again, you can follow me on Facebook, Summer Woods. That's my first and last name, Summer Woods. On Instagram is my first and middle name, Summer Joy. That's underscore Summer Joy, Joy with two Y's. And then the ministry page is Love God Boldly Together. And also I just wanted to do, you know, a quick, because I know we talked about this before, I'm a part of a nonprofit that helps keep young children from the ages of 5 to really children and young adults, age 5 to 25, off the street. We have a Saturday program. You can follow that page to learn more about what we're doing in the community. You know, it's a Saturday camp from 9 to 5, and we'll be starting up once the quarantine is over. And that Instagram page is Children of Paradise. Children of Paradise. So follow
awesome.
That page if you have children. Yeah, if you have children, you want to keep them active. We have all kinds of activities for them to do. So thank you for having me. This was awesome. I just appreciate everything that you're doing and for pushing me and holding me accountable. And I'm just excited for what God is going to do. So thank you once again, and God bless everyone. Love you all.
Awesome. It's all right. Real quick, if Pastor Tori wants to, any comments, anything to say? If not, we're going to close out.
I just bless God and praise God for the word of God that has gone forth this evening, for the testimony, for the encouragement. And I just wanted to come on and encourage this young lady in her walk and in her ministry, because, you know, it's sad that homosexuality or I don't know all the proper letters. I mean, no disrespect, but I'm going to just clump it all together under that one umbrella. It's sad because that's the one sin we all want to point out.
Come on,
right? We don't look at, we don't sit and go, ooh, adultery.
Right.
Especially
come
when
on.
He's a pastor. Especially if it's a pastor, he got the first lady in the first row and the second lady on the third row and the third lady at the door. We don't say nothing about that. We don't scream out, ooh,
come
fornication.
Okay.
Then we know Deacon so-and-so is running with Sister so-and-so. Or we see our young children coming in expecting babies.
Yeah.
We don't sit and say, ooh, murder. We don't call out, but that's the one that we call out. And what I love about what you're doing is you are providing a place for people to heal and be delivered. And that's what I love about what you're doing, because I always say, you know, when Jesus met the woman at the well, he didn't go up to her and say, yo, ho, give me something to drink. He knew what she was.
Come on.
But he met her where she was and brought her to where he needed her to be.
Come
so
on.
That she could go back and tell everybody that was embarrassed to walk with her.
Tell everyone.
That's why she was out here in the noon day by herself. Everybody that had something to mumble behind their back. But when she went back after her experience with Jesus, everybody that had something to say, just based on her word, come see a man.
Come see him.
And understand, please, I want you to understand what I'm getting ready to say to you, baby, because I'm not saying it like you was a woman at the well, but you did have a woman at the well experience.
Amen.
And now when you thought that when you went back into town to tell everybody to come see a man, that they were going to mumble about you and talk about you and turn their opinions at you because of how they treated you before you saw the man. And I want you to keep telling them to come see about a man who told me everything I had done. Hallelujah, God. And then turned my whole situation around. So I just encourage you.
Thank you.
I want you to stay on the wall. Please do not be a stranger here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And if there's ever anything we can do to bless you and to help you in your ministry and endeavors, please let us know. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Reverend Art, awesome job. Ministry is back in your hands.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. I'm sorry we have stepped into the archives, but we're about to wrap this thing up. Like I said again, Summer, I love you. Thank you so much for what you're doing, Pastor Todd. Thank you for everything. We're going to end in prayer very fast. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you carry us out. And you show us the vision, you make it plain, you make it clear, and God, you give us direction, and you show us what we need to make this thing happen. Right now, this is not the time to be scared, this is the time to be excited, because you're showing up, and you're showing us a path. So God, as you begin to direct that path, God, you heal, you deliver, you set free, and every soul that has been acquired to us, that has been assigned to us, you make the purpose plain. Give us your boldness. Give us your boldness. And fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Can't wait to see you next time on the Healing Hour.
Amen. God bless.
Jesus lives.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose.
Never want to see you down. I will not lose.
Baby.